Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you today that this is a listener participation program. The life's blood of what we do on Facing the Issues is predicated upon your involvement, your participation, your questions, your responses, your dialogue, your interaction with this broadcast. So your input is invited. May I remind us, when we talk about facing the issues, we're facing the issues based on the authority of the Word of God. It's not your opinion that counts. It's not mine. It's not the opinion of any media person or politician. It's not the opinion of what the world may say or society may think. It is the Word of God that has the first, foremost, and the final answer to life's issues. When we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. And then our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can participate in this dialogue and discussion today. It's a very important one. I think you'll see in a moment as we open the discussion on it. And you can call us and participate by calling 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. We'd love to have your input, your insight, your thoughts, especially on a critical issue that we're going to discuss today. And the issue that's before us today is, what authority and what responsibility should a pastor have in relationship to leading the flock, shepherding the flock? And now I pray that you will understand that when we look at the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, we understand is not to be divided and bifurcated and say that we throw the Old Testament away because it's old and we accept only what is in the New Testament. That is simply untrue theologically and doctrinally. When we look at the Scripture from Genesis through Revelation, it is considered the progressive revelation of God to man. And so therefore, as we see the progressive revelation of God to man, we understand that all Scripture is given by the Holy Spirit of God. It is to be written down and for our edification. It is what we find, what is called the Bible today, the 66 individual books, making one whole, which is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So I wanted to set the stage, build the foundation with that. That is our source of truth, and that's where we go. God's Word says in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, cry aloud. In fact, from the Jerusalem Bible, it says to scream with a whole throat, to scream out with a full voice. Cry aloud, spare not. The word spare not means don't relent, don't let up, don't stop, don't in any way be sidetracked. So the Scripture says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. What does a trumpet sound like? You can hear a trumpet. And I believe most people with an ear for anything could distinguish between a trumpet and a clarinet, can distinguish between a trumpet and a guitar, can distinguish between a trumpet and a trombone. So the trumpet is a clarion call. It is clear, concise, loud, definitive, decisive. And so therefore the scripture is very, very clear that that's what ought to be done from the standpoint of calling sin, sin, and taking a stand on moral and ethical issues. And that's what we do on this broadcast every day. It may be considered political by some. It may be considered moral. It may be considered denominational or theological or religious or spiritual or Christian. It makes no difference. When we look at the Word of God, God sees all of life as one big unit, one big whole. He does not bifurcate our lives. He does not take your life from my life and segment it, segregate it, and put it in separate little closets and say, this is your spiritual life, this is your Sunday life, this is your professional life, this is your business life, and by the way, this is what you ought to do on Sunday. God doesn't do it that way. It is an everyday lifestyle for the Christian. But when we understand, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. By the way, that again is in Isaiah 58:1. God says to the pastor, preach, that we are to scream aloud. Don't be afraid to call sin, sin. Be like a trumpet that's clear, loud, definite, definitive in our call to the world as to what God would have us to say and do. And then in Isaiah 56:10, wonderful verse, many shrink back from it. In Isaiah 56:10, speaking of God's watchmen, his watchmen are blind. They're ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving slumber. Now, I pray that that's not identifying anyone in my listening audience. I pray that that does not identify you or any other Christian. But unfortunately, there are many that fall into that category. A watchman that's blind has no value. A watchman that is ignorant of the facts has no value. A watchman cannot bark, he's dumb, that means he cannot bark. Dog that cannot bark is worthless. Sleeping, lying down in loving slumber. If you take picture, if you will, an office building, you've got security guard on duty. And that security guard is supposed to be a watchman, but he's blind. He's no value. If that security guard is ignorant of what is taking place, he has no value. If that security guard is dumb as a dog, cannot bark, cannot warn others, he has no value. If that security guard is sleeping or lying down, loving slumber, he has no value. And so therefore, may I set the pace of where we're going today in this discussion by building the foundation and pointing out that as watchmen on the wall, pastors, preachers, teachers, Christians in general, but in particular pastors, preachers, teachers, spiritual leadership, have the responsibility to be a watchman on the wall. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We as shepherds of the flock, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, are to be watchmen on the wall, warning of the impending dangers. We are to warn the world, warn the citizens, warn the Christians, warn those in the pulpit of what the Scripture says. We can't bifurcate the Scripture, take a part, piece of it, piecemeal it out, parcel it out, take only the love of God and preach that, take only the love of Jesus and preach that. The Scripture is far more comprehensive than that. The Scripture is far more categorically applicable than that. The Scripture has far deeper roots than that. The Scripture has a far greater importance than that. And so may I remind us, as shepherds of the flock, as Christian pastors, we have an awesome responsibility. In the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, it says, shepherd the flock of God, which God's given you oversight of. It's an interesting word. Let me take a few moments with that word. This is important in where we're going in just a moment with our dialogue today. Shepherd the flock of God. That word shepherd is the word poimanitate. Poimanitate. That word literally means to lead, to feed, to guard, to guide, to protect, to direct, to correct, to discipline, to comfort, and to care for. You look it up if you've got a Greek translation of the text of the New Testament. If you have a word study book or dictionary, look it up. The word poimanitate, and that's the pastor that's to shepherd the flock of God. Therefore, as a pastor, dear pastor, if you're listening to me, listen carefully. You and I have the responsibility of leading the flock, feeding the flock, guarding the flock, guiding the flock. And that guarding and guiding is the watchman on the wall to protect the flock, to direct the flock, to correct the flock, to care for to comfort and to discipline the flock of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, the bride of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us, perhaps you've forgotten, or some of you listening may not even be aware of it, that on November the 8th, that's just a few weeks from now, in fact, I believe it's like 40, 45 days, November the 8th, the general election, there will be on your ballot and on my ballot for DeVol County a referendum that was placed there by our wonderful mayor and city council, where they passed with an 18-1 vote out of city council a slot machine ordinance by way of referendum. It's still not law. It's still not been passed. It must be voted on by you as the citizen. It must be voted on by each of us, we the people. We must cast a ballot November the 8th saying, yes, we want slot machines, that is, gambling further expanded in DeVol County, or no, we do not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you can call me at 401-1413, 401-1413. I'd love to hear from you. Do you want gambling to increase in DeVol County? Do you want slot machines to be available to your family members in DeVol County? Do you want to see the slot machine gambling empire to broaden in DeVol County? That's the question that's at hand. We're dealing with the question of gambling and slot machines in DeVol County. And the vote is coming up. In fact, today I had a news reporter to call, and his question was right telling. He said, I've noticed that you're the only pastor that said anything to the mayor of the city council about the upcoming slot machine referendum that's on the ballot for November the 8th. He said, my question is, this is the reporter asking the question, my question is, why is it that no other pastors have questioned the gambling expansion in DeVol County? Why is it that they have said nothing to the mayor of the city council when this was being discussed by way of a vote for a referendum? He was very concerned. He said, I'm just a reporter. I've been in DeVol County, I think he said, 2 or 3 years. He said, but I'm just wondering. It's on the ballot for a vote in November for gambling, and I hear nothing being said. He said, may I interview you on that subject? I said, by all means. We had about a 15-minute discussion, and I pray that he will write what I said and be open and candid with that statement. But how will you vote? You're a Christian. I pray that you are. If you're listening to my voice today and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and in Lord, as Lord, I pray that you will do so. You can't go to heaven without Jesus Christ. A person can go to heaven without health, without wealth, without fame, without fortune, without great name, without 10,000 other things. But ladies and gentlemen, a person can never go to heaven without Jesus Christ. So that's first and foremost. In fact, in order to be able to rightly discern and make a right decision about truth and how you ought to vote, you need to be saved. But even if a person is not saved, when it comes down to the morals, the ethics, and the values for our county, we need to recognize the responsibility that we have and the awesome right that we have as citizens to vote. But I'm talking primarily today, if you would allow me to do so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to what is generally referred to, and I don't like the term, the clergy. I'm talking to those dear pastors, associate pastors, Christian leaders, those that are involved in ministry that's leading the flock, to recognize our awesome responsibility. In fact, in a article that was written, published in 1873 by Charles Finney, the great European evangelist, Charles Finney, in his work on the decay of conscience, said, and may I quote, if immorality prevails in the land, the fault is the pastors in the pulpit to a great degree. If there's decay of conscience in the pulpit, it's responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is decadent and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in spiritual things, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of the legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. And he concludes his remarks. He said, let us not ignore this fact, my dear pastors. Let us lay it to heart and be thoroughly aware to our responsibility in respect to the morals of our nation. That sounds like yesterday. That sounded like something you'd write today. But it was published in 1873 under the title, The Decay of Conscience. And that's where we are today. And with this bill that is going to be by referendum, it's approved by city council and the mayor, but it was approved simply to go before the people, for we the people to vote. I had sent a letter to each of the city council members and to the mayor, and I was concerned about it back then. In fact, this was back in early June, May and June, when they dealt with this issue and decided to make it a referendum choice. May I remind us, we have a choice November the 8th to vote for, yes or no, for slot machine gambling in Duval County. Now, what's wrong with slot machine gambling? What happens when that takes place? May I remind us, some of the things that we'll talk about in just a moment will take place in any city where slot machine gambling is approved. Our city council, by the way, has approved the bill. They placed it on the November 8th ballot for we the people to vote to say yes or no on slot machines. Why did the mayor and most of the city council members, it was 18-1 on the city council vote, but why did the mayor and so many of the city council members agree on that? I simply call it graft. I call it fraud. It is my most humble opinion that based on the Florida statute 838.015, which I believe I'm citing correctly by recollection, is called the bribery ordinance or the bribery statute for the state of Florida. I believe that they violated that, my personal opinion. You can have your opinion. That's perfectly all right. But 11 of the 18 city council members received anywhere from $500 to $2,000. $500 to $2,000 each. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I call that a bribe for a vote. May I remind us, the mayor received $4,000 in his campaign. And all of this came out of the Howard Korman gambling empire. Howard Korman owns the major interest in gambling in Duval County, Clay County, St. John's County, the horse races, dog races, et cetera, whatever it may be in the gambling industry. He's the kingpin of it all. But may I remind us, our city council members sold us down the tube as moral ethical citizens by doing so. It is important that we understand, ladies and gentlemen, we have a biblical God responsibility, a responsibility to Holy God, to take a stand on these issues, to talk about them publicly, not be frightened, not be fearful, not be intimidated, but to take a stand on them. And any Christian that's worth his salt, any Christian that's truly blood-bought, Bible say, born again, will not have any qualms about taking a stand publicly, privately, or otherwise, and speak out against this. May I remind us, the whole thing is, we have a good old boys club in our city with many of our city council members, including the mayor, that's willing to sell the citizens and the moral ethics and the values of our citizenry of Duval County to appease the gambling kingpin Korman family. By the way, Allison Korman Shelton is the daughter of Howard Korman, and she's in the mayor's office in the inner circle. She's the director of Intergovernmental Affairs Office. And Howard Korman owns, among other things, Best Bets gambling house over in Arlington. And if this passes, listen, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you can call 401-1413. You can agree, disagree. I'd love to hear from you. I want to know if you're going to vote. I want to know how you're going to vote. You don't have to tell me who you are. Tell me why you are for such an onerous, ungodly, unholy piece of legislation. If you're saved, if you're a moral, ethical being, how can you want to do this to your friends and family and the future of the city of Jacksonville? May I remind us, Howard Korman owns the Best Bets. And where the if this is passed November the 8th, he will have the right under the legislation in Duval County to install 2,000 slot machines. 2,000 slot machines. If this referendum is approved on November the 8th, listen carefully. It will be on your ballot and on my ballot. Every citizen of Duval County, if you're registered to vote, you'll have a ballot. On that ballot will be a referendum asking you whether or not you want to vote yes or no to put slot machines in Duval County. And if you vote yes, Howard Korman, the gambling kingpin apparatus in Duval, Clay, and St. John's County, will have the right to put 2,000 slot machines in Best Bets gambling house already established in Arlington. And by the way, I've never seen any legislation passed with federal, state, or local where the legislation that's passed is so crafted that one person or one entity is benefited from it, and then he is given protection in that same legislation. If this passes, Corman and his gambling apparatus, I call it his gambling empire, will have the sole authority for a territory covering 50 miles from his location in Arlington. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, what that will do? That will be for the totality of Duval County. That will be for all of Duval County, that Howard Corman and his enterprise of gambling will have the territory all to himself based on the legislation that is now crafted, if voted on by you and I as citizens of Duval County. So what's wrong with slot machines? What's wrong with gambling? May I remind us, slot machine gambling, and you do the research if you don't believe what I'm about to tell you. You can Google it. You can research it. Slot machine gambling is the most addictive form of gambling on planet Earth. Addictive. Addiction to pull in the one-armed bandit, if you please. Putting the money in. Whether it's a quarter, a dollar, I don't know how those things operate as far as the amount, but I don't care what it is. Every city, listen carefully to some of the statistics, every city where slot machines are approved, the following things will occur. Many of them before others, but it will occur exponentially. Home foreclosures will increase. Why is that so? Because they're not paying their mortgage, not paying their rent. They will be kicked out on the streets because they're putting the money in slot machines rather than paying their rent or the home payment. Spousal abuse will increase. Why is that so? Because of a fight over money in the home. A fight over where did your paycheck go? A fight over the question of why can't you pay the bills? What are you doing with your money? Spousal abuse will increase dramatically in any city where slot machine gambling is approved. Thirdly, student dropout rate will increase. Why is that so? Because fights in the home, students cannot study, students cannot concentrate on their academics, families are broken apart, students that normally would be AB students will drop out of school, drop out of the academic process simply because of the deterioration in the home as a result of slot machine gambling. Fourthly, welfare rolls will increase exponentially. I'm talking about cities where slot machine gambling is approved. And again, I challenge you, Google it, look it up, analyze it, scrutinize it, get your own facts and figures if you doubt what I'm telling you. I'm the watchman on the wall warning our city, warning Duval County, warning you, the listener, that we need to take a stand. And especially if you're a pastor or involved in ministry, we need to take a stand and be willing to cry aloud, screaming with a full throat that there's danger ahead. And number five, we're talking about the things that will occur when slot machine gambling is approved for any city. The fifth thing is the lack of food on the table. The lack of food on the table. The lack of food will increase. Why is that so? Simply because mom or dad or whoever's the breadwinner of the home, rather than buying groceries, will put their money in the gambling device. It's addictive on the basis that there's greed, and greed says just one more dollar and you can strike it rich. One more dollar and you can strike it rich. One more time. Because of basic greed, there's an addiction with slot machine gambling. It falls into the category of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, where the scripture says, and may I quote the scripture for us, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Pierce themselves through. It's the idea as you take a knife and stab yourself, and there is pain and agony and hurt and harm and sorrow and calamity and woe that takes place. And that's the end result of the slot machine gambling. It falls into the category of the love of money. It is greed in the nth degree. It is greed. And the scripture says it's the root, the source, the fountainhead of all that is evil. The word there, evil, is the little Greek word poneros. You could translate it bad or wicked are evil. So the love of money is the root, not the lack of money. The love of money is the root of all that's bad, all that's wicked, all that's wrong, all that is evil, which while some coveted, that's greeting after, have erred from the faith. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, some of you that say you're saved, maybe you're sitting back and you say there's nothing wrong with gambling. You say there's nothing wrong with the slot machines. There's nothing wrong with having this because, after all, I'm not going to participate. Listen very carefully. You can take 100 people, put them before a slot machine, 100 people drop the coin in or the dollars in, whatever it may be, and gamble that first time. It's slot machines, 100. You might have 90 of them that will turn away and never again be tempted to do so. You'll have a certain percentage of those that have tried the first time that will become fully, totally, 100% addicted, that they cannot do anything else with their dollars except gamble, 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 placing their money in the slot machine. And the end result is home foreclosures increase, spousal abuse increases, student dropout rate increases, welfare rolls increase, lack of food on the table increases exponentially. Do you want that for Duval County? Do we, the people, want that for our city? Are we willing to accept, as I put it, slop in the hog pen, rather than looking for God's best for our city? Are we willing to allow that to take place? I challenge you to vote no on this horrible, wicked issue that will be coming up November the 8th. My dear pastor friend, if you're listening to me, I want you to warn your congregation. I beg you, I plead with you, I urge you, I encourage you, dear pastor friends, have the courage, have the tenacity to stand in your pulpits, tell the people that that will be on the ballot November the 8th. Warn the people that they ought to vote no for it. Let them know the dangers that's ahead if we put this wicked, evil law into place for Duval County. Please tell them to vote no on slot machines, or to vote no on slots, if you want to put it simply, on November the 8th. Pastors, please stop being concerned about what I call the three N's. Most pastors are concerned with the three N's: numbers, nickels, and noses. You're concerned about the number that's seated in those pews on Sunday morning. You're concerned about the amount of offering that comes in and your paycheck. You're concerned about the number of people that you think that you're reaching with your ministry. The numbers, nickels, and noses mentality will destroy the fundamental, foundational elements of the Word of God and the willingness to have tenacity to stand and speak the truth. Speak the truth. If God's word says it, that settles it. If the scripture says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, where some, while some coveted after, may have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, why not preach that and teach that? Link that with the truth of what's happening with the wicked, evil referendum that's on the ballot for November the 8th. May I remind us, and if you're listening, dear Christian friends, you're in a church that's not being mentioned from the pulpit, call your pastor. Sit down and talk with him privately. Don't embarrass yourself for him. Talk with him privately. Urge him, plead with him, encourage him to challenge the congregation to vote no on this wicked, evil referendum that's on the ballot for November the 8th, coming up in just a few days. I believe it's like 45 or 49 days before the election, and many things are important on the ballot. But from a local standpoint, there's nothing, I think, any more important than voting for the president, number one, of the person that you need to vote for. But secondly, voting against this evil, wicked device that our city council and the mayor has allowed to come onto the ballot as a result of their being bribed by the wicked, evil, gambling empire in our city. I pray that you've heard what I've said. I pray that you've accepted it for where it's meant. I pray that you'll be serious about it. Tell others about it. Warn your family members and others to vote no on slots November the 8th. Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow at the same time as once again we face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows: the dangers of Islam in America, and around the world. What about abortion, the sin of homosexuality, Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws? Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian? What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.